Let's read verse 1 through verse number 12 in the book of James. Thank you for being here tonight. I mean that. Brother Don left here this morning and he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I know what it is to be where you are. And Brother Don's a precious friend. Amen. I promise you he's praying for us. Amen. And that is just such a blessing, such a blessing. What I want to look at tonight, let's just read the verses, then we'll look at the text. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, or that word just means different, temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth it. And so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let me read another verse. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You can be seated. Pray with us just a moment. Would you, Father, thank you tonight for our people that are gathered here tonight at Bible Way. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, the book is so real to us, and we're so thankful, our Father, that we have instruction in these days. I pray now, Father, tonight that you'd use the Bible to speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, and make us more like Jesus, and God will give you glory. For we ask it tonight in Jesus' name. All of God's young and said, amen. Thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. I want to look at the phrase in verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, our faith tonight is going to be tried. I want to explain a couple of things in the onset of the message that I think is necessary. Some of you may know this, and some may not. But if you don't know how to differentiate between the temptations that are being presented here in this chapter, then the Bible wouldn't make sense and would actually appear to contradict itself. Because in verse number 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. But if you think about the Lord's Prayer, the Lord said, lead us not, it taught us to pray in the model prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For there's two things going on here in the chapter. The first word, temptation, that's being used here is talking about a test or a trial. We'll go and read it maybe a little bit later on, just however the Lord leads. But in Genesis chapter number 22, you find that God did tempt Abraham. Now, he wasn't tempting Abraham to sin, but he was trying Abraham's faith when he required Isaac to be sacrificed. Am I making any sense so far? He was not tempting Abraham to get drunk or to commit adultery or do anything like that. But so God is not telling us to rejoice in that solicitation or that temptation to do evil. Not at all. But He is telling us that when we're going through the trials in our faith, that we can rejoice, that we don't have to, regret that. We don't have to retreat from that, that we can understand that God is working in our lives. A verse that comes to my heart is a common verse, but and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. To those that love God are going to go through times of trial. They're going to go through times of testing. And God said we could rejoice in that. And He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. Now think about this. There are people that will use this as an argument to say that Jesus was not God. Because the Bible said right there that God cannot be tempted with evil. Ain't that right? It's right in front of us. And I've told you this before. When you're studying about Jesus and it seems like there's a contradiction, remember this, there's never a contradiction in the Bible. And so Jesus as God was not tempted, but Jesus as man was tempted. And if you don't learn to separate the two, in other words, there's a place where it says Jesus was wearied on His journey. Well, man gets weary. God don't get weary. Amen. In other words, He was God and He was man all at the same time. Amen. So in order to interpret the Scripture correctly, you have to understand what the Lord is trying to say here. And so the temptation here when He says the trying of your faith, that's talking about the test. And beloved, I believe with all of my heart that we should remember, we mentioned this before, the radio broadcast system, the television, this is a test. This is only a test. Had this been an actual emergency, you would have been instructed in your area, you know, where to go or what to do. Amen. And I tell you, sometimes in my life, I just have to stop and say, God, this is a test. This is only a test. Let me make a statement tonight. It's not original with me. I would tell you who I heard say it if I could remember. But this is a statement that I heard. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Did you hear what I said? A faith that cannot be tested. Brother Jim, I think about the surgery that you have coming up. And that before you leave this world, you may not be able to see. But it is my prayer that if you cannot see with these eyes, God will let you see. Like Fanny Crosby, with that eye of faith. And that it would not cause you, my brother, to turn on Him or to think that He's bad. Say amen. I didn't mean to say all that tonight, Brother Jim, but you're my son in the faith. The trials are going to come. Amen, Sister Mark. They've already come in y'all's life. And God is testing. And you know what really blesses me? They keep passing the test over and over and over again. And just keep on going for God. And I'm not going to name other names, but there's families in the church that you've just seen go through it and go through it and go through it. And they just keep passing the test. They just keep saying God is good all the time. Amen. Life sometimes is hard. And the trials sometimes seem like they're more than we can bear. But God is good through it all. Amen. And so tonight, the trying of your faith, the Word of God said here, worketh patience. Let me just give you the thoughts that the Lord has put on my heart tonight. First of all, the trying of our faith is certain. Beloved, just as sure as you have faith, it will be tried. I said, just as sure as you're saved, your faith will be tried. Let me ask you something. Would you rather find out what you have is real or not real now, or when it's too late? Beloved, there is going to be a crowd in that day that are going to say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, Have we not done many marvelous works in thy name, prophesied in thy name? He's going to say, depart from me. They're going to discover that they didn't have the goods. Amen. But discover it too late. I'm just telling you, when God is trying our faith, He's really being good to us. He's helping us. Amen. How many believes Abraham was stronger, the Word of God said, in faith after the trial than he was before the trial? We had a lady down at Liberty where I pastored for several years. Denise Moore. I told you her name because she's nothing but a blessing. And she had a brain tumor. And she would stand knowing that she was facing the brain tumor, knowing that she was facing the surgery, and knowing very well that through it all, she may be facing the Savior. But she would stand in that condition and sing, God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Ain't that good? Amen. It's one thing, beloved, listen, to have something in our mouth when things are going well, but when you can stand and sing to the Lord, amen, not knowing how it's going to turn out. Brother Les left here this morning. He said, I've got this surgery coming up. I believe it's on the 5th. He's got cancer on his tonsil on one side, and it's went out into his neck. He said, just as soon as we get through this, he said, we want to join the church. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Yes, God is good. Amen. Let's pray that God will take this trial. He's already made it a blessing and make it an even bigger blessing in his life, in his wife's life, in the life of our church as a result of it. Amen. The trials are certain. Turn with me to Job for just a moment, please. Not going to spend a lot of time there tonight. But I want to just recall a verse of Scripture. Job, let's look at chapter number 3. Job chapter number 3. And I want to read verse 24 down through verse number 26. Job said here, for my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. If you'll read the psalmist David, this language kind of sets the scene for some of the places he found himself in his life. And he said in verse 25, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. Think about that. The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Watch what the Bible said in verse 26. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Look at those last three words. Yet trouble came. I'm telling you, beloved, the trials are coming. Amen. For every one of us. I've watched. Listen to me. I'm not making fun. I mean that tonight. I'm not making fun at all. But I watched people come to the choir tonight. And some people, they came to the choir like this. Ain't that right? Some people came to the choir like this. Brother Steve, it ain't been too long ago you and I were coming up here like that. Say amen. Joints may need to be replaced before it's over with. We don't know what we're going to face. You say, Pastor, what did you see? I saw a blessing on both counts. I'm glad there's young people that could jump from there up here. But I'm also glad there's people that's still in the hunt, still in the fight, still want to sing for God in spite of the trials, in spite of the testing. The Word of God is teaching us that they're certain. And then I wrote down in the margin of my Bible the word counted. I mean, everybody here knows how to count. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I'm talking to pastor right now. You all, this wouldn't fit you all. But sometimes when it comes to trials, we count backwards. Is somebody here tonight, anybody home? You say, Pastor, what do you mean you count backwards? The Word of God said right there, count it all joy. That's what the Word of God said. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, the trials of life. Count it all joy. Well, you say, Pastor, how in the world could we do that? Number one, we need to know it ran across his desk before it ran into our life. You can find that in Job chapter number 1. The devil, he couldn't do nothing till he got the approval of God. And if it run across his desk before it run into my life, then God's working in my life. God don't hate me. He loves me. He cares for me. The songwriter got it right. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And so I wrote the word counted. Counted all joy. Say, Pastor, I don't know how anybody could count these trials joy. Well, Brother Jim, God's put you in my heart tonight. I tell you how you can count it joy. If it comes to that place where you can't see how beautiful your pastor is, then what you can do is say, Lord, it ain't going to be long. I'm going to see somebody a whole lot more beautiful than Pastor is. I'm going to see Jesus. Say amen. That's what Stephen said. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I believe God give him some glorified eyeballs, don't you? And let him look over there at the Lord Jesus. You see, the trials are not going to last long. How many heard me? Brother Richard was talking to me a while ago about this world and the shape it's in, the direction it's headed in, and how he would like to understand. I'll tell you this much right now. We may understand some things and we may not. But we understand this. Listen, our children, this world ain't getting no better. Our grandchildren, it's going to wax worse and worse. You say, well, Pastor, how can you find any joy in that? I tell you how. There's youngins in Sunday school and children's church and children's church that learning about Jesus. And this Jesus that we preach and teach and believe and trust, Brother Ralph, when you were a teenager, will be the same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes. I can count that all joy. The circumstances may change. The trials may change. But listen, our Lord never changes. And then I wrote down not only the trials are certain, the trials are to be counted, but the trials have a cause or a purpose. You remember David when he went down there and Goliath was down there defying the armies of the living God in the valley. And David said to his brother Eliab, however you want to say his name, he said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? David knew, beloved, listen, that same God that had been with him over here in the sheepfold was going with him down there in the valley. And listen, he knew that God was bigger than that giant. That giant was big, but David knew God was bigger than that. David wasn't going to go in Saul's armor. David was going to go in the armor that he knew worked for him and fit him. And he went down there and defeated that giant. The cause, is there not a cause? You say, well, Pastor, what's the cause? I believe there can be different things. But in the Scripture, in the text, the cause of this trying of our faith is patience. Let me ask you something. It's a personal question. In Houston, you just be quiet. How many of y'all can use a little more patience in your life? Did you know that I believe with all of my heart that God uses the trials to teach us patience? The Word of God said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. In other words, when you see the word let, it's something that it's not automatic. Because, listen, if you've ever encountered anybody that's mad at God, that's a mess. I told a lady several years ago, I'd rather you be mad at me. It'd be easier to deal with than to be mad at God. We don't need to be mad at God. He's just helping us. We may not see it right now. I love what one preacher said. I think it's a good illustration. Life is a parade. You've got the people coming down there in the front. You got all those floats in the middle. Then you got somebody bringing up the rear, and you know the parade is over. Usually that's fire trucks, ain't it, Brother Steve? Ain't that where they're at usually? Somebody help me. It's been so long as I've been to a parade. Amen. What is it, Brother Larry?
Horses.
Okay, horses. Brother Larry goes way back. He's older than dirt. Amen. Hey, did they even have wheels back in, brother? Amen. That's good to aggravate you. I owe it to you for what your wife did to me this morning. She told me as I was going out the door, Sister Mary did, she said, I want mine back with interest. Shoo! Every pastor needs a church full of them. Say amen. Amen. Oh, I love God's people. Y'all are precious to me. Count it. There's a cause. I want you to see that God instructs us here to call on Him in the trial. How many's ever heard somebody say this? You should never ask God why. How many's ever heard something like that? That's not scriptural. I said it's not scriptural. If the Son of God could hang on the cross and cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't you know that God knows that we're weak and that we're frail and that we're just flesh? Don't you know when He hears that from our lips, that doesn't bother Him? But I just want to say this. If we don't get an answer, we got to keep going. You see, Jesus didn't get an answer, but He just kept hanging there until it was accomplished. And He was, glory to God, one of these days. Listen, I'm not buying anybody's eternal redemption, but my life is going to be over. It's going to be finished. One of these days, I'll be able to say it is finished. And I thank God, because of what He finished at Calvary, we can finish in victory. And we can go home. Amen. There's a calling. The Bible said here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Not only is there a calling on God, but there's a confidence in God. Look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith. Let me ask you something. Am I not correct in saying that many times the trials seem to cause us to doubt a little bit? Don't you think that's what Satan would like for us to do? You know, he convinced Eve that God was holding out on her. Ain't that right? It's a tree to be desired to make one wise. Why, he knows if you were to eat that tree, you'd know like he knows. But God said you'll die if you eat that tree. Which one was right? God's always right, isn't he? And the Word of God said, let him ask in faith. There needs to be a confidence, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. It's more than just asking. It's asking in faith. A couple more things and I'm finished. I want you to see the conclusion. Look at verse 12. We've been talking about the trying of your faith, how that it's certain, how that we can count it all joy, how that there's a cause behind it. We can call on God in the midst of it. We can have confidence in God. But I want you to see the conclusion. The Bible said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith, that young preacher. And Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. Every one of us that know Him as our Savior are going to go through some hard things in life. They're not all going to be easy. But I'm going to tell you this. The Bible said, blessed is the man that endureth. The man that goes not just to the trial, but the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the teenager that goes through that trial, understanding that God is at work in all of it. And then I want you to see the crown. In verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. You say, boy, oh boy, that must be difficult. Look what the rest of the verse says, which the Lord has promised. I believe we make more out of it sometimes than there really is. God just wants us to love Him. To them that love Him. You say, now there's a whole lot comes with that package. Amen. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus, He said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. He also said, was it Paul that said, if somebody could get me started on 1 Corinthians 13. Anybody know the first verse? Though I preach with the tongues of men and of angels, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I used to know the whole chapter, Miss Eve. It's okay. Amen. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Amen. How'd you like to be Elizabeth and hear that quoted about charity? Elizabeth was riding down the road one day, and Noah is my son. And he had a buddy that was riding with his mom and dad one day in the pickup truck. And they came on the radio and said, all the proceeds are going to charity. He said, Mama, charity going to be rich. You can't get any richer than God's charity, than God's love, one toward another. The trying of your faith, it worketh patience. God wants us to be a blessing. He wants us to be a blessing to Him in the trial. But He wants us to be a blessing to each other, to one another in the trial. How many is either in a trial or know somebody that's in one? Would you raise your hand? I want to encourage you to go home. I don't know the artist that sings it, but just type in song, God will make this trial a blessing, and listen to it. Have you heard it, Brother Wayne? Is it the McCain? I think you're right, brother. They may not be the one that started it, but I think you're exactly right, Brother Wayne. They sing that song, and the whole wide world will see. Ain't that what we want God to do with our trials? To make them a blessing that the whole wide world might see. Let's stand tonight. Thank you for being here tonight.